Welcome to Zichud Daf Sin, money member by Ram Golder, and today we're Zechus Baba Basra, Daf Chav Zayin, the second parak, Lo Yachbor. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara proves Ula's statement that a tree derives its nourishment from roots within 16 amos from a mission stating that if three trees belong to three people are planted within a base saw, an area of 25,000 square amos, Har-El Mitztarfin, they combine to be considered an orchard, and the entire base saw may be plowed until Shavuos before Shemitah. If they're more spread out, the field may only be plowed until Pesach. Since a base saw totals 25,000 square amos, that amounts to 833 and a third square amos per tree. This is less than Ula's measurement, which is 16 amos in each direction, totaling 1,024 amos, which is 32 by 32. The Gemara answers that Ula's measurement is a circle of 16 amos in every direction. Since this square is approximately 1/4 larger than a circle inscribed in it, Ula's measurement is actually 768 square amos. Although this is smaller than the Mishnah's amount of 833 and a third amos per tree, by about half an amma on each side, Ula was imprecise, meaning he approximated Ula Chumra Lo Dak, and it was for a Chumra that he was imprecise because he only exempted from Bikurim a tree within 16 amos from the boundary, whereas the Mishnah would exempt up to 16 and a half amos. Point number two, Ula is challenged from a Braisa teaching that if a tree is partly growing in Eretz Yisrael and partly outside, Rebbe says, Tevel v'chun m'ravin zebezeh, the fruit is considered Tevel and non-Tevel mixed together because produce grown outside Eretz Yisrael is exempt from Truma. Mishnah Gamliel says, Hagadol b'chiyuv chayev, the fruit growing in the obligated side is obligated in Truma. Hagadol b'pater pater, and the fruit growing on the exempt side is exempt. Their machlokas appears to be only if we can determine which parts of the tree are growing from Eretz Yisrael, but all agree that what is growing from outside Eretz Yisrael is exempt. But according to Ula, it still draws nourishment from Eretz Yisrael and should be subject to Truma. The Gemara answers that the case is demapsik sunma, where a rock separates the roots underground so they cannot draw nourishment from the other side. Nonetheless, Rebbe holds the hadri arve, the nutrients from all the roots are remixed in the trunk, because he holds avir mibabel, the airspace, meaning the trunk, mixes the nutrients together, and Rishon Gamliel holds each side remains independent. And point number three, the Mishnah states, Ilan shu notel rishus rabim. If a tree extends over rishus rabim, kotzeitz kadei sheyagamo over rachbo, one may cut off enough of its branches to allow a camel and its rider to pass underneath. Rav Yehuda says, as Gemara will explain, that a smaller space for a camel laden with flax or twigs is sufficient because a rider can bend over. Rav Shimon says that trees are cut along a plumb line, so branches will not spread tuma through ohel. The rest, who the Tana is who holds, debenazakim basu umdin de nahashta azlinen, that regarding damages, we follow our current assessment and only cut off the branches which currently impede traffic, although they will grow back later. Reish Lakish says it's Rebbe Eliezer who permits digging a pit in Rishus Rabim, provided that its cover can withstand a wagon carrying stones, although it may later weaken and collapse. Yochanan says that even the Tana Kama who argues with Rebbe Eliezer can agree here, because that Tana is concerned with the cover's decay going unnoticed, whereas in our Mishnah, the branches will be cut as they regrow. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara proves Ula's statement that a tree derives its nourishment from roots within 16 amos from a Mishnah saying that if three trees belong to three people are planted within a base saw, an area of 25,000 square amos, Har-El Mitztarfin, they combine to be considered an orchard and the entire base saw may be plowed until Shavuos before Shemitah. If they are more spread out, the field may only be plowed until Pesach. Since a base saw totals 25,000 square amos, that amounts to 833 and a third square amos per tree. This is less than Ula's measurement, which is 16 amos in each direction, totaling 1,024 amos, which is 32 by 32. The Gemara answers that Ula's measurement is a circle of 16 amos in every direction. Since this square is approximately 1/4 larger than a circle inscribed in it, Ula's measurement is actually 768 square amos. Although this is smaller than the Mishnah's amount of 833 and a third amos per tree, by about half an amma on each side, Ula was imprecise, meaning he approximated Ula Chumra Lo Dak, and it was for a Chumra that he was imprecise because he only exempted from Bikurim a tree within 16 amos from the boundary, whereas the Mishnah would exempt up to 16 and a half amos. Point number two, Ula is challenged from a Braisa teaching that if a tree is partly growing in Eretz Yisrael and partly outside, Rebbe says, Tevel v'chun m'ravin zebezeh, the fruit is considered Tevel and non-Tevel mixed together because produce grown outside Eretz Yisrael is exempt from Truma. Mishnah Gamliel says, Hagadol b'chiyuv chayev, the fruit growing in the obligated side is obligated in Truma. Hagadol b'pater pater, and the fruit growing on the exempt side is exempt. Their machlokas appears to be only if we can determine which parts of the tree are growing from Eretz Yisrael, but all agree that what is growing from outside Eretz Yisrael is exempt. But according to Ula, it still draws nourishment from Eretz Yisrael and should be subject to Truma. The Gemara answers that the case is demapsik sunma, where a rock separates the roots underground so they cannot draw nourishment from the other side. Nonetheless, Rebbe holds the hadri arve, the nutrients from all the roots are remixed in the trunk, because he holds avir mibabel, the airspace, meaning the trunk, mixes the nutrients together, and Rishon Gamliel holds each side remains independent. And point number three, the Mishnah states, Ilan shu notel rishus rabim. If a tree extends over rishus rabim, kotzeitz kadei sheyagamo over rachbo, one may cut off enough of its branches to allow a camel and its rider to pass underneath. Yehuda says, as Gemara will explain, that a smaller space for a camel laden with flax or twigs is sufficient because a rider can bend over. Rabbi Shimon says that trees are cut along a plumb line, so branches will not spread tumah through ohel. The Gemara asks, who the Tana is who holds to benazakim basu umtin in the hashta azlinen? That regarding damages, we follow our current assessment and only cut off the branches which currently impede traffic, although they will grow back later. Reish Lakish says it's Rebbe Eliezer who permits digging a pit in Rishus Rabim, provided that its cover can withstand a wagon carrying stones, although it may later weaken and collapse. Yochanan says that even the Tanakama who argues with Rebbe Eliezer can agree here, because that Tana is concerned with the cover's decay going unnoticed, whereas in our Mishnah, the branches will be cut as they regrow. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Chav Zayin, and our standard Siman is a kazoo, which is a toy musical instrument that children blow into that makes a buzzing sound. So here goes. The boy blowing his kazoo and circling a tree at a distance of 16 amos, which was as far as the roots can nourish, chose this tree because it was half in Eretz Yisrael and half in Chutz La'aretz, so that its fruits were tevel and non-tevel, mixed together, and because its branches hanging over Rishus Rabim were cut down so that his friends playing their kazoos on a camel could pass by underneath. Once again, slow motion. The boy blowing his kazoo, that must mean we're on Daf Chav Zayin. The boy blowing his kazoo and circling a tree at a distance of 16 amos, which was as far as the roots can nourish, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses how we derive that a tree derives its nourishment within 16 amos from three trees in a besa. So the boy blowing his kazoo and circling a tree at a distance of 16 amos, which was as far as the roots can nourish, chose this tree because it was half in Eretz Yisrael and half in Chutz La'aretz, so that its fruits were tevel and non-tevel, mixed together, which reminds us, the Braisa teaches that if a tree is partly growing in Eretz Yisrael and partly outside, Rebbe says, tevel v'chun m'ravin zebizet, the fruit is considered tevel and non-tevel mixed together because produce grown outside Eretz Yisrael is exempt from truma. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, hagadol b'chiyuv chayev, the fruit growing in the obligated side is obligated in truma, hagadol b'pater pater, and the fruit growing on the exempt side is exempt. So the boy blowing his kazoo and circling a tree at a distance of 16 amos, which was as far as the roots can nourish, chose this tree because it was half in Eretz Yisrael and half in Chutz La'aretz, so that its fruits were tevel and non-tevel, mixed together, and because its branches hanging over Rishus Rabim were cut down, so that his friends playing their kazoos on a camel could pass by underneath. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states, Ilan shu notel Rishus Rabim, if a tree extends over a Rishus Rabim, kotzeitz kadei sheyagamo over v'rochbo, one may cut off enough of its branches to allow a camel and its rider to pass underneath. Yehuda says, as the Gemara will explain, that a smaller space for a camel laden with flax or twigs is sufficient because a rider can bend over. Rabbi Shimon says the trees are cut along a plumb line so branches will not spread tuma through ohel. So once again, the boy blowing his kazoo and circling a tree at a distance of 16 amos, which was as far as the roots can nourish, chose this tree because it was half in Eretz Yisrael and half in Chutz La'aretz, so that its fruits were tevel and non-tevel, mixed together, and because its branches hanging over Rishus Rabim were cut down so that its friends playing their kazoos on a camel could pass by underneath. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf chav gimel. So the simmer daf chav gimel is kugelach. So here goes. The boy's getting bloody playing kugelach under a date tree where a bloodletter worked. Watched a rabbi chase away crows during his dates because ain chazaka linizakin, and heard one of the bloodletter's clients disclose that he had no idea how his seller had obtained the rights to keep a dovecote so close to town, and that the dove found nearby was his because it couldn't fly yet, and the principle of Rov Akarov doesn't apply to it. Once again, slow motion. The boy's getting bloody playing kugelach, kugelach. That must be on daf chav gimel. The boy's getting bloody playing kugelach under a date tree where a bloodletter worked. Watched a rabbi chase away crows during his dates because ein chazaka nizakin, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that bloodletters were drawing blood in their property under the shade of Rav Yosef's palm trees, and crows would come to consume the blood and then fly up to the trees and dirty the dates with blood. Rav Yosef said, rid me of this crowing, draw blood elsewhere. Abaya asked if their action is a mere grama, and Rav Yosef replied that damaging is forbidden even through grama. Abaya said they established a chazaka after having done so for 3 years? Rav Yosef responded, the Rabbi Bar Avuha replied, Ein chazak when nizakin. There is no chazaka for damage, meaning he has no right to continue damaging. So the boy's getting bloody playing kuglach under a date tree, where a bloodletter worked, watched the rabbi chase away crows during his dates because Ein chazaka when nizakin, and heard one of the bloodletter's clients disclose that he had no idea how a seller had obtained the rights to keep a dovecote so close to town. Which reminds us, the next mission states that a dovecote must be distanced 50 amos from a city and from other people's property so the doves don't eat their produce. The mission concludes, if he purchased property with a dovecote from its previous owner, a field-based rova, even if the surrounding area is only a quarter kav, haruch b'chazkasko, it retains its chazaka to be in this proximity. So the boy's getting bloody playing kuglach under a date tree where a bloodletter worked, watched a rabbi chase away crows during his dates because ain chazaka l'nizakin, and heard one of the bloodletter's clients disclose that he had no idea how his seller had obtained the rights to keep a dovecote so close to town, and that the dove found nearby was his because it couldn't fly yet, and the principle of Rov Bakarov doesn't apply to it, which reminds us, the Gemara compares the relative strength of falling Rov, majority, and Karov, proximity. V'chinina said, Rov Bakarov hochin acharov. In a case where a ruling based on majority and proximity would be in conflict, we follow the majority. Although the principles of Rov Bakarov are both the Raisa of Yilachi Ruba Adif, even so majority is stronger. He's challenged from the Mishnah, Nipon Nimsa B'toch Hamishim Amma. If a young bird was found within 50 Ammas of a dovecote, it belongs to the dovecote's owner. This seems to apply even if there's a larger dovecote further away, yet we assume it came from the closer one. The Gemara ultimately answers the Mishnah's case is a bird which hops and cannot yet fly, because Rav Ukva Bar Chama said that a hopping bird does not hop further than 50 amos. Therefore, it's known to be from the dovecote within 50 amos and not the larger one further away. Daf Chav Dalet. So the similar Daf Chav Dalet is a kud, a pitcher. So here goes. The huge sculpture of a glass pitcher, that must be more on Daf Chav Dalet. Cud. The huge sculpture of a glass pitcher of blood titled When Rova Matsui, no one says Karov, which reminds us, Abai presents a mission to prove Rabbi Chanina's ruling that Rov overrides Karov. Damsha Nimsa Beprozor, blood was found in the canal of a woman's body. Sveiko Tame, its unknown status is ruled definitely Tame, meaning she's definitely Anita, Shechezkasu Mina Makor, because it's assumed to have originated from the uterus and not the Aliyah, the upper chamber, despite the fact that the Aliyah is physically closer to the Prozor. Rova answers Rova Matsui commerce. You speak about a case which is both majority and frequent. Not only is there more blood in the Makor, but blood commonly flows from the Makor to the Prozor, but not from the Aliyah. Rova Matsui Leko Manda Amar Karov. In a case where both Rova and frequency oppose Karov, no one says to follow Karov. So the huge sculpture of a glass pitcher of blood titled When Rova Matsui, no one says Karov, placed right next to a sycamore tree that was planted 50 amos from the city in order to beautify the city, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Marchikin Esi'il Min Ir Esim Chamishama. One must distance a tree 25 amos from a city. A carob or sycamore tree, which have many branches, must be distanced 50 amos. Abashul says all barren trees must be distanced 50 amos. Who explains the reason for the Mishnah's law, Mishum Noya Ir, for the city's beautification. A space of open land enhances the city's beauty. So the huge sculpture of a glass pitcher of blood titled When Rova Matsui, no one says Karov, placed right next to a sycamore tree that was planted 50 yamas from the city in order to beautify the city, was bought by a tree owner who was compensated when his tree was cut down, since his tree preceded the city, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the city preceded the tree, it's cut down and the owner of the tree is not compensated. However, if the tree preceded the city, kotzeitz v'nosen damim, he must cut it down and the city pays compensation since it was planted legally. Daf Chaf Hei, so the Simmer Daf Chaf Hei is the 25th silver anniversary. So here goes. The 25th silver anniversary dinner. 25th silver anniversary? That must mean we're on Daf Chaf Hei. The 25th silver anniversary dinner that was held so the husband and wife could watch the sun bow towards the west, where the Shekhinah always rests, which reminds us, Rabbi Akiva describes the west as Tadira, constant. The Gemara explains it means Tadira b'Shekhinah, constant regarding the presence of the Shekhinah, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Bo menachas k'tova l'avoseinu, come, let us show gratitude to our forefathers, Shehodia makom tefila, who informed us of the direction of prayers. The Pasuk says, Utzvah shamayim l'cham shtachavim, and the heavenly legions bow to you, meaning the sun, moon, and stars bow towards the west. Rabbi Shaya holds, Shekhinah b'kol makom, the Shekhinah is everywhere. So the 25th silver anniversary dinner that was held so the husband and wife could watch the sun bowed towards the west, where the Shekhinah always rests, and was set on a new golden table on the north side of the yard, in the direction the wealthy husband always davened, which reminds us. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Harotze Sheyachim Yadrim, one who wants to become wise should face south when he davens, v'sheyashir Yatzpin, and if he wants to become wealthy, he should face north. He gives the symmetry, remember the directions, in the base of Migdash, the Shulchan, which held the Lechem Abanim, symbolizing sustenance, was on the north side of the Heichal, and the menorah, symbolizing Torah wisdom, was on the south side. Rabbi Shuben Levi said, Lom Yadrim, one should always face south, because by becoming wise, he will also become wealthy. So the 25th silver anniversary dinner that was held, so the husband and wife could watch the sun bow towards the west, where the Shekhinah always rests, and was set on a new golden table on the north side of the yard, in the direction the wealthy husband always davened, turned into a disaster when the wall of the yard collapsed from the vibrations of the sesame seed pressers, who according to all opinions should have worked further away, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi holds one may plant a tree near a neighbor's pit, but agrees, Begudi Dei, regarding his arrows, where the damage is direct, that the mazik must distance himself. Therefore, Rav Ashi required sesame seed pressers to move because the vibrations from the pressing caused someone's mansion to tremble. Dav Chavav, so the seventh Dav Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The barbarian soldiers during a military coup, that must be more on Dav Chavav. The barbarian soldiers during a military coup were beating their flax and didn't realize that the windblown chaff was harming their enemies, which reminds us, when the household of the barbarian would beat their flax, the rocks of the chaff would fly off and harm people. Ravina ruled they do not need to move away because the law of Giri Delay is only the Ka'azim Makocho, where the damaging item moves through its force, whereas this chaff, Ziku de Kamamtile, it's the wind which carries it until it damages and it's not the responsibility. Marba Ravashi asks, how is this different from Zora winnowing on Shabbos with the wind's assistance, who's liable? Maramer held it is similar to winnowing on Shabbos and would require the flax beaters to move. Rashi explains that Ravina can reject the comparison to Shabbos, which is liable for Malachas Masheves, purpose of labor, and liable even in harnessing an outside force. So the barbarian soldiers during a military coup were beating their flax and didn't realize that the windblown chaff was harming their enemies, while others were making a fire using wood from the roots of a tree that extended into their pit, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that if roots of one's tree extend into a neighbor's property, he may dig 3 tefachim down and remove any roots so they should not block the plow, and if he digs a pit, he may cut the roots downwards as far as he needs, but Eitzim Shalom, and the wood is his. So the barbarian soldiers during a military coup were beating their flax and didn't realize that the windblown chaff was harming their enemies, while others were making a fire using wood from the roots of a tree that extended into their pit and were guarding the robber tree planted within 60 amos of a neighbor's boundary, which was putter from Bikurim, which reminds us, Ula said, Ilan Asamach Lameitz Batok Sheshes Riyama, a tree which is within 16 amas of the boundary, Gazlanu, it's a robber, by drawing nourishment from the neighboring field, Ve'in Mavin Mimena Bikurim, and therefore one does not bring Bikurim from its fruits. Rashi explains that because the Torah commanded to bring Bikurim from fruit, which you should bring from your land, so fruit which drew nourishment from another person's land is exempt. However, Ravin quoted Rabbi Yochanan is saying that whether a tree is planted near a boundary or its branches extend over a neighbor's property, one brings Bikurim from its fruit and recites the Bikurim Psukim, Shalmanaskan Hincho Yeshua Yisrael as the arts, for it was on this condition of allowing this practice that Yehoshua apportioned Eretz Yisrael to Israel. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which stuff do you discuss when the owner of a tree which is cut down receives compensation? That's on Dav Chavdalad. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we learn that Ula holds a tree within 16 amos of the boundary is a gazlan, it's a robber, and is punter from Bikurim? That's on Dav Chavav. Good. Number 3, which stuff do we discuss the status of fruit from a tree growing partly in Eretz Yisrael and partly outside? That's on Dav Chavzayin. Good. Number 4, which stuff do we learn that one must distance a ladder dalad amos from a neighbor's dovecote? That's on Dav Chabez. Good. Number 5. Which of the one, if occupied property was left to an heir or purchaser, he may retain it without claiming how the occupier came to own it. That's on Dav Chav Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which of the you discuss how we learn that a tree derives its nourishment within 16 amos from 3 trees in a base saw? That's on Dav Chav Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which step do you discuss the case of bloodletters causing crows to dirty Rav Yosef's dates? And we learn Ein Chazaka L'Nizakin. That's on Dav Chav Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we discuss where to cut tree branches which extend over into Rishus Rabin? That's on Dav Chav Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we have a question of which is preferred, a Rebbe who teaches more but is imprecise, or one who is precise but teaches less? That's on Dav Chafav. Good. Number 10, which stuff do you discuss? Who owns the roots which extend into someone else's property? That's on Daf. Chavav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.